We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Thanks for listening to KC Sports Network, proudly presented by Empress Bank. Coming up, the latest on the 2024 NFL Draft from the team at KC Sports Network, your home for Kansas City Chiefs coverage.
The Kansas City Chiefs are on the clock with the 248th pick in the NFL Draft for this year. Final pick scheduled for the Kansas City Chiefs sitting at 248. Their pick is already in. They are ready to roll.
Brett Veach is done.
Running back still available on the board out there. And that's really the last, that is kind of one of the last few things that they really haven't touched on that we probably would have said, like, hey, would they go here? Would they do this? Couple running backs, they brought in Carson Steele for a 30 visit, I believe.
Yes, they did.
It looks like Andy Heck's on the phone, which would tell me that, they are about to take an offensive line.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, Garrett Greenfield.
Okay.
That would make some sense. I would like a Garrett Greenfield, maybe an Aneem Dankwa, if they want to take another long offensive tackle.
I'll tell you what, if it's Nick Gargiulo, I'm going to lose my mind. It's CJ Hansen.
Oh, yeah.
The guard out of Holy Cross.
Yeah.
And that's another player that they had in for a 30 visit.
Yeah.
What do you know about CJ Hansen, Matthew Lane?
No, he played versatility. Oh boy,
versatility.
He was up and down the offensive line there for them. Holy Cross, the Chiefs have brought him in. I think he's a guy that shows some good movement skills. And we kind of talked about this when you're looking at a later day three offensive lineman, you're just kind of looking at for a singular trait or skill that pops. It just looks different because that's what you're going to bank on. You're going to bank on your coaching to come through and fix that. I think he kind of has that short area movement ability that is a little bit different than a lot of other guys that you're looking at in this range. So you get that into the room, that gets you impressed. You bring him in, you see if you can coach him along to turn him into a developmental kind of backup utility offensive lineman.
Yeah, a guy that was a captain, 3-year starting guard at Holy Cross. There's a level of competition there, but really looked like he displaced, defensive tackles really well. Again, that short area stuff that Maddie's talking about there has some power, has good punch, has the ability to move a little bit in a phone booth. Maybe not a guy that's going to be a tremendous puller, but a guy that they obviously, this is a focus, interior offensive line. We talked about how they may not have a whole bunch of guys in 2025 on the roster to the Kansas City Chiefs. This is another swipe and another interior offensive lineman to try and insulate some of the losses they might see.
As we were going through talking about some of the scenarios and like stylistically how this team could approach the end of the draft, one of the things we said is maybe they just throw some more numbers at the offensive line. This is what they do. They get the 26th best tester since 1987 from an athleticism perspective.
Yeah.
So, 6'5", 300 pounds. So you're getting a bigger interior offensive lineman, but slender offensive lineman that tested through the roof. And you're getting a guy that played a lot of football, granted at a lower level, but 38 starts in his career, 0 sacks allowed in 2023. CJ Hansen is your new Kansas City Chief, the last pick of the draft for the Chiefs, the guard out of Holy Cross. So, now let's do this real quick. We'll grade the pick, I guess.
Yeah,
we'll grade the pick real quick. Maddie Lane, give me a grade for the 248th pick in the NFL draft.
I like how Craig took my job and said that, you know, a C is exactly adequate value for what you're looking at. The last time you guys had to grade a pick. And with that in mind, I give this a C plus. I think the athleticism can get it to the plus. I think they drafted a potential versatile developmental reserve interior offensive lineman. You can't reach at this moment in time. I don't know if there's an insane upside there, but he at least has, like I said, I really like his short area kind of burst to that movement that he has. So there's something to work with there. I give it a C plus, especially at this point in time in the draft.
Yeah, I give it a strong C. They needed more interior offensive linemen. I think, you know, some of the things that we've talked about where maybe, you know, one of their tackles kicks inside if they don't work out. Wanya Morris is your swing tackle, because I don't think you take another interior guy and add it to the roster here if you don't feel comfortable about Wanya Morris being an offensive tackle for you. So it's just one of those things that kind of helps us give a little bit more clarity. A Hunter Norzad, now all of a sudden you've got a CJ Hansen that you're adding to the room. They needed some new blood, a new interior offensive lineman. So, I like the move. I think this is appropriate value for it, and, you know, we'll see where we go from here.
Yeah, if you look at the Chiefs' depth chart too, like, they just don't even have great bodies to throw into the, you know, to their rotation.
Starters are great,
but as far as like depth and competition down there for, you know, rosterable spots, they really just didn't have a ton yet. Mm-hmm. I think that's the one thing, is like just continuing to feel and what the Chiefs have done from an offensive line perspective largely today, like they've taken, or just this week, is they've been really intentional about taking some really strong athletic profiles with Kingsley Suamata, yeah, and CJ Hansen. These are both two, you know, developmental type players. But I mean, Hansen's a guy they've done a lot of work on here.
Yeah.
This is a guy that they've spent a lot of time doing work on because they had him in for a 30 visit. And, you know, sometimes those 30 visits can be to try to recruit players to come be undrafted free agents for you. That's one of the tactics that we use. And I've seen some names that have gone off the board here at the end of the seventh round that are players that the Chiefs have targeted as, you know, maybe undrafted free agent types. Like, I saw Jawan Briggs going off the board here a little bit earlier. And I'm sure you'll sweat out some players like a Carson Steele here in a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe, hopefully he doesn't get picked in the next few picks and the Chiefs can recruit him to come be, you know.
For sure.
Some of those type of players. But I like that they've just continued to add bodies to the offensive line room, just to continue to give themselves depth and competition in that room. So, you know, what does CJ Hansen have to do, really, I think, Maddie, to earn a spot on this 53-man roster by the end of the year? What does he have to show this team?
I mean, I think he has to play far above what you would anticipate a seventh-round draft pick playing like in year one, right? I mean, this is probably a guy that's competing more to make sure he gets to be on the practice squad.
Yeah.
If I were to guess, like, I don't know where the Chiefs have him, but I would think that this is a pick that the Chiefs are making here. They probably have a handful of players left that they all kind of like, that they want to bring in to compete for roster spots, for practice squad spots, but this is a guy that they really want to bring in and make sure somebody else doesn't sign him as an undrafted free agent. This is a guy they don't want to get into the contract, the negotiation war. That's what this pick's going to be. So whether or not he makes the roster or not, I don't think it matters necessarily. This is a guy they probably want to keep around for long-term development. If he makes the active 53-man roster, that's going to be super impressive.
Oh,
especially coming from Holy Cross. Have you guys watched that offense?
Yeah.
I don't even know. They barely have a forward pass in the playbook. So, like, this guy doesn't have a lot of experience with pass sets, right? So, like, it's probably going to be a little bit of a journey for him to get there. But if it happens quickly, then that's good news.
Yeah, absolutely. And at times, watch a little bit of Holy Cross, because we, you know, watch a little bit of Jalen Coker as well, you know, but watch a little bit of CJ Hansen. But, saw some times where he lost, where there were strength issues and power issues. Those are not getting easier in the NFL. So I think the thing that we really need to see out of him in camp is a play strength thing. I think if you can live with the play strength, you can grow with him as a player. I think that's his easiest path to that, because there is some athleticism there. He does have a really strong punch, but the anchor, the ability to anchor against bull rushes, the ability to move and really push people around against an NFL level defensive tackle, that's what we got to see. But hey, seventh round draft pick, give that guy a whirl. Obviously, Andy Hex, you know, they really liked him. So the Andys get their guy.
Tucker D. Franklin has a question here.
Yeah, I got a question to ask you guys. You know, this is a seventh round pick. You guys did mention usually these picks are used on guys that they want to prioritize, maybe in UDFAs that they don't want to get into a bidding war with. How surprised are you that it comes to with this position, right? With the offensive line, we've seen them spend some capital on the offensive line this draft? Are you more surprised that it comes there, or like doesn't come to a running back maybe that they could have potentially got into a bidding war with in free agency?
You know, I think that they feel comfortable doing the making that kind of move with the running backs. They did it last year.
Yeah.
Offensive line with that kind of athletic profile, I get wanting to get out ahead of that, and also making it a cost-controlled situation, because sometimes players that are higher priority free agents wind up making more money than, you know, guaranteed money than they would have if they were a seventh round pick.
Yeah.
So sometimes, you know, it's cost savings. If the number's just getting too outrageous, then they might as well just draft you, because at that point you might, you know, there's some undrafted free agents that will make more guaranteed money than some of the kids that were drafted at the end of the seventh round. So
I think it's a lot harder to ensure that you're going to get the 26th most athletic interior offensive lineman as an undrafted free agent than it is if you can just draft him, right? Like, if you're looking through this and you're going like, hey, why would we go with this position and versus, you know, something else that we maybe have a bigger need at given they've already drafted a guy, but you can only get so many, like, athletic offensive linemen are kind of hard to find. So if you're looking at one in the seventh round, just skip over the negotiation aspect, bring him in now. You can go negotiate with five different running backs that are probably at this point in time just kind of like throwing darts at a wall to see which one is going to have like just that natural feel once you get to the next level.
And the Chiefs probably have a pretty good feel for that market already and knowing what player they need to take and what.
Oh, they've been talking to UDFAs for a little while now.
While we've been surviving a tornado, chasing frogs, and chugging seltzers, the Chiefs have been calling undrafted free agent targets.
Okay.
Trying to secure them.
And see, you make it sound like what we do is not as important as what the Kansas City Chiefs are doing there. And, well...
Wait.
Picture of the frog.
Picture of the frog.
CJ Hansen's the pick for the Chiefs from Holy Cross. Elite athlete, interior offensive lineman. Congratulations to him on being the final pick of the Chiefs 2024 NFL Draft.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.